Welcome to Bible Truths. It's good to have you tune in today. Today's lesson is titled, A Survey of the Book of Acts. You might ask, why this subject? Well, if we have a good overall knowledge of the book of Acts, it can be very helpful to understanding the rest of the New Testament. Now, Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament and covers about 25 years in time period. The book of Acts also connects the first four books of the Bible and all the rest of the letters. Acts is often referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, or of those being sent, because that's what the word apostles means, those being sent. So it can mean other than the apostles being sent. However, the book of Acts centers around primarily the apostle Peter and Paul. The first 13 chapters centers mostly around Peter. And the last 15 chapters focuses around Paul. So what is the book of Acts about? Well, a big point is the beginning of the Great Commission. That is the idea of seeking and saving the lost so that people can be saved from their sins. It is also the fulfillment of the kingdom that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And the promise of Abraham is fulfilled. And it's also the beginning of the law of Christ. And the primary focus of Acts is the witnessing of the apostles that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, if you prove this, it demonstrates that Jesus is God and the Bible is the Word of God. In fact, the hope of the resurrection is the foundation of the Christian faith. Witnessing these facts is the main theme of the book. And witnessing has to do with being an eyewitness. This lesson is broken into three sections. The witness in Jerusalem, which covers Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 7. The witnessing in Judea and Samaria, which is Acts 8 through Acts 12, and the witnessing to the end of the earth, which covers Acts 13 through Acts 28. Let's start with the witness in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, let's read it. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then they asked him a question, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus is giving them his last instructions to his apostles before he ascends back into heaven. And he tells them they're going to receive the Holy Spirit not many days from now, and they're going to be witnessing from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, which is sometimes called the bullseye of the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, a few days after Jesus had gone up into heaven, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we see the apostles receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter applies this receiving the Holy Spirit to the prophecy that was predicted in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 through 32. Then in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 22, he starts preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then in verse 25, he starts applying the resurrection of Christ to Christ receiving his kingdom, not David receiving his kingdom that was prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, but the kingdom that Christ would sit on after he rose from the dead. And let's start, pick it up back in verse 29, where he's speaking to the Jews. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So the application here is Christ receiving this kingdom that was predicted in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, that was sworn to King David that a descendant of his would receive that kingdom. And that kingdom is the church. Then picking up this lesson, in verse 36, he concludes his lesson, saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Here we have a recording of people receiving forgiveness of sins and the beginning of the promise of Abraham being fulfilled. In Acts chapter 3, we have Peter healing a lame man, and this gets the people's attention. And so he preaches that Christ is the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament. And we're going to pick that up starting in verse 18, that lesson. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Notice here, he quotes the prophecy that made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that all nations be blessed through the seed of Abraham, that seed being Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, we see the beginning of the persecution of Christians, where the Jews arrest the Apostle Peter and John. The Jewish leaders bring them out of prison, and Peter starts preaching them, as recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now we see the reaction of the Jews in verse 13. Now when they heard the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves. And notice what they said in verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." In verse 18, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Here we can see the Jews rejecting the things that Peter had preached to them. And we see the signs and miracles that are spoken of, even with those things, they still didn't believe. In fact, in verse 33, this is what it says about the miracles. "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And in chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people." And in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were arrested again and put in a common prison. In verse 19, it records, "But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" The apostles obey God and are teaching the people, and the Jewish leadership find out about that, and they bring them to them. And in verse 29 recording, the apostles start preaching to the Jewish leadership. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.'" The scripture then records that the Jews are furious and they want to kill the apostles. But one of the Jewish leaders convinces them not to do that, lest they be fighting against God. And they said, if it isn't of God, then it would come to nothing. And so this is their reaction to the apostles when they actually bring them back to them. In verse 40, "And they agreed with this leader, this teacher, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And in daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus is the Christ." In Acts chapter 6 and 7, the persecution intensifies even more. Stephen is teaching the people, and they seize him and bring him to the leadership. And Stephen preaches a history lesson, starting from Abraham to King Solomon, about the Messiah, the Christ. And then in chapter 7 and verse 52, he concludes his lesson by saying this, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." And then we see the reaction of the Jews. In verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gashed at him with their teeth." Drop down to verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then he basically died. This starts the next major division of this lesson, the witnessing in Judea and Samaria. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and see the result of persecution of Christians. Now Saul was consenting to his death, that's Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So we see the preaching of Jesus spreads to Samaria, and many become Christians outside Jerusalem and Judea. In Acts chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul, who soon to be called the Apostle Paul. Let's read in verse 1 of chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asking letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way meaning those who are Christians. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And so Saul obeys Jesus. And later on in the chapter, we see a disciple of Christ, Ananias, being instructed by God to go to Saul, who is in Damascus, so he can lay his hands on him, so he can receive his sight back. At this time, he's blinded by that light. And then verse 18, it records that he is baptized. And in verse 20, it states that Saul immediately starts preaching Christ in the synagogues. Then picking that up in verse 21, then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Now, in Acts 10 and 11, we see a significant event occurring where Gentiles are converted to Christ for the first time. However, when we read the context in Acts chapter 10, we see that God has to intervene directly for this to happen. God has to send an angel to Cornelius, who's a Gentile, and he also has a message to Peter through a trance he falls into that he is to go with the Gentiles and preach to them. So picking up in that story, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 beginning, we will hear Peter's beginning the preaching about Jesus. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. And at this time, the Jews had thought that only the Jews were acceptable to God, the Gentiles that were not. So this is going to throw them for a loop later on, the Jews. And he says, But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And then later on in this chapter, we see that Peter commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And verse 48 records that. And then in Acts chapter 11, we see the Jews hearing about the Gentiles also receiving the word of God. So the Jewish Christians accused Peter of sin because he went into them and ate with them and associated with them. So Peter has to recount the story about the conversion of the Gentiles and how he was instructed by God to do so. And so in verse 18, when they heard what Peter had to say, it records this. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Now we come to the third major division of this lesson, the witness to the end of the earth, starting in Acts 13 through the end of the book. In Acts 13 through 15, records the Apostle Paul's first journey to preach the gospel, the good news about the resurrection, the hope of Israel, so others can know about what they need to do to become right with God. And so Paul has quite a bit of success in converting many people to Christ. He performs miracles, but he also receives quite a bit of opposition, so much so in Acts chapter 14, the Jews stone him and they think they kill him. But he survives that. In Acts chapter 15, we have a great debate on circumcision. The reason this is such a big issue is because the Jewish Christians thought that the Gentiles need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be right with God or become a Christian. And so Acts chapter 15 records that this is not the case. And there's three arguments that are given to dispute that by the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, and one of the faithful disciples, James. The Apostle Peter argues, after much dispute, in verse 7, he says to the people, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Then in verse 12, it records Paul's argument how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Then the third argument, James gets up and starts quoting Old Testament prophecy that was always intended for the Gentiles to be part of God's people, as recorded in verses 14 through 17. The rest of Acts records, starting in chapter 16 through the end of the book, records Paul's second and third missionary journey to preach the news about how people become Christians and become right with God. He defends the gospel to the Jewish leadership who are trying to kill him. The Apostle Paul ends up in Rome as a prisoner, but free to preach the gospel to those who come see him. So we see in the book of Acts recording men going everywhere to preach the hope of the resurrection of the dead. We can have this hope also if we are right with God. That's why in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, we see the Apostle Paul preaching to some philosophers, those who don't really know God, and he concludes his lesson with this: "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given us assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead."